Chag of Shavuos. Kabbalah Torah was dependent on the attitude of Na'aseh v'Nishma. Person could only approach Kabbalah Torah from a total Amunah in the Rabbeinu Shalom. If he has the total Amunah, then he can accept the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. If one weighs the possibility, the viability of the Torah without Amunah in the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Torah is an impossibility. And could never be Mekabel the Torah. That's really the message of Chazal. And that's why you find the divide in the contemporary world. There are many that can understand the utilitarian purpose of mitzvahs. But when they cease to be what's obviously utilitarian, if the approach is from that standpoint, then I can't relate to the mitzvah. Only the maimon that can relate to the mitzvah. Someone writing in the New York Times on the op-ed a number of years ago, he said, this is kosher, it could relate to kosher. Kosher has kept the Jewish people together all through the diaspora, so it was a very good function. Shatnez, though, it's a deal breaker. What do you want with that? Now, you stop to think about it. From a practical standpoint, it's really just the opposite. Not to wear shatnez is ultimately of no cost to him. It will not interfere with his lifestyle in the least. But to observe kosher is a tremendous cost. You can't be in the country club, one of the boys, where business is done. It's a tremendous cost. Yet, from a utilitarian standpoint, one could understand kashrus and not shatnez. A maimon has no such calculations. A maimon doesn't calculate that which I will gain from the mitzvahs, that which Klal Yisrael gains from the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs reflect the rotzon of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's their standing. Everything else that spins around them is a kol revach. It's profits. The truth is, I think, that when it comes in Kabbalah Satara of Shavuos, we talk of the larger Kabbalah Satara, our commitment to Torah. We talk most specifically of our commitment to Talmud Torah. And I believe in Talmud Torah, the Chol Dor V'Dor needs Na'aseh V'Nishma. If one approaches Talmud Torah from what's practically possible, there'd be very little Torah in the world. I was once sitting with Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. I think that the only time that I actually sat together with him. There was a member of the Forest Hills community, Rabbi Lesher Olam HaSholom, who died just over a year ago. And he was from the first Talmudim of Ramosh in the United States. And as such, he sponsored a parlor meeting in his home for Tveres Yerushalayim every year. And a couple of times I helped him schlep the chairs to the parlor meeting, so he invited me to come. And one day I stayed after the parlor meeting at Ramosh and the Chvoid. The Achsanya stayed to drink tea with them, to schmooze with them. So a fellow walked in while I was sitting there. And he asked Rav Moshe Zatzal the following question. He said, to open a yeshiva, do you have to have an exact accounting of where the money is going to come from before you open a yeshiva? So Rav Moshe told him, if we waited until we had an exact accounting for how a yeshiva would be financed, there wouldn't be any fine, there wouldn't be any yeshivas. There wouldn't exist. He said, you can't open it just, you know, in our terms, by parachuting. You know, you have to have some idea what to do. But that's it. After that, you go forward. That's in the larger Kabbalah. In the personal Kabbalah Satara is also the same way. If we'll stop the cheshbon, how we're going to learn, and when we're going to learn, and where we're going to learn, it's the practical difficulties are immense. They're insurmountable. We can only begin from Nasa and Ishma. We make the commitment that we have to learn. Once we make that commitment, somehow we'll find a way to actualize it. But if we look for the practical means to actualize it before we commit ourselves to it, then we're standing exactly still, not going any place. So in for Talmud Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah for Talmud Torah is also with Nasa and Ishma. First, we have to make the commitment to do it. And we're going to do it. And after that, somehow we'll find how we're going to, how we'll actually accomplish it. But it's without Nasa and Ishma, it doesn't go. I wanted to look a little bit at the mitzvah of Shvi'is. But before I started to look at the text of the Sefer HaChinuch and the Minchas Chinuch, I wanted to share one idea, a fascinating idea that the Minchas Chinuch has. Fascinating idea. It says the following. That we, in brisket terms, we'll approach it from brisket terms. In brisket terms, what is the mitzvah shvi'is? Put it that way. Is the mitzvah that we shouldn't work the land during shvi'is? And that certainly, that part of the mitzvah exists. We can't deny that. But is there a mitzvah, which we would call a mitzvah nechefta, that the land should rest? Beyond what we're doing, but that the land itself is supposed to rest. So this is a very, very fascinating question. Now, he wonders why it is that we don't find any heter for women to work the fields during shvi'is. Now, why is this? So he goes through two possibilities. He said the Isurim, the Lavim and the Torah, the only thing that has a clear Lav is like Sizra Sod Chokalai. That one may not sow, one may not plant during Shavuot. That's a Lav. So a Lav, we don't have any question. We know Hishva Chosav Isha Leish Lechol Oinshin Shabbatera, a woman is as Mechuyim and all the Leisa says is a man. It's whether Alu has Mangroma, Leias Mangroma, can't eat on Yom Kippur, it's Shazman Groma. But it's a Leisa say. So women are equally included. And he says, however, when it comes to Harisha, that there is a whole question. He says, Akrakasafti Leel and Mitzukufu is a Harisha Bashvias and Ovin Balaisase. There's no Losase. Rak Baase Vishov Saurat, Shabbos Lashem, or Bacharishaku. And that's what it says, Bacharisha Bakotri Tishpais, which is also a Loshan of an Asay. So he says, if that's the case, he says, so by Zoraya, there's an assay and there's a lois assay involved. Because it says lois is raw, and it also says, v'shom sa'or shabbat chore shabbat kotzer tishbos, so v'shom sa'or shabbat l'ashem. So there's an assay and lois assay. If there's an assay and lois assay, so then he says, we can come to the following, that we have a school of thought in the Rishonim that says that what happens when there's a mitzvah assay and a lois assay on the same thing? Normally we say, and a lois assay is a woman is mechuyah, and a mitzvah assay shazman groma, she's exempt. Now let's say I put together an assay and a lois assay, which are both shazman groma on the same thing. So the lois assay, she's obviously included. How about on the assay, which is shazman groma, she included in that too? So besides one of the Rishonim, that the Rishvosh Shita, that as long as there's a lois assay, then women are included in the assay as well. So that would explain to us why a woman is not allowed to plow the fields during shvi'is. But according to Tosfos, if we divide the assay and the lois assay, Mexico. Consequently, it is certainly no logos ase. There's certainly no ase. Even if she's mitzuvah, the basic idea is the following. Since there's a lav on zriya, on planting, and therefore in the ase of planting she's included, so therefore we may say she's included similarly in mechorish of a kotzitishpos, and the ase of charishatu she's also included. Because that includes zriya and charisha. So if she's included in planting, because there's no exemption of mitzvah asei shasman groma because it has a lav to it, so we can say charisha is also included in that. But if we'll say that we cut the lois asei and the asei apart, and in the lois asei she's over, but in the asei you're not mitzvah, so then we would want to know why is it that a woman can't plow the fields doing shvius? What's the reason for that? So here he comes to his amazing idea. He says, we find no such heter. So he says, what I find, he says, the osur las is melocha besodah shmita yidei goy. Can I hire a non-Jew to work the field for me during shvius? Now, you might say, well, we have a general rule. It's isur shvus, meaning anything which I may not do, I may not ask a goy to do for me. If I can't do melocha on Shabbos, I can't ask a goy to do melocha for me on Shabbos. So any lois I say, so therefore, any avir in the Torah. So I certainly can't ask a guy to work the field for me because of shus. But that's an isad rabbanon. He says much more than that. He says rak over baasei the shvius as karka. There's an idea in shvius that the karka should not be tilled. Forgetting who tilled it, that's not important. The mitzvah is that the karka should not be used. The land should not be used. It is an example of this. He says, we have an Isra on Shabbos, beyond the Lamatas Malachas, we have an Isra Shvises Behemto. Meaning, if I own an animal, that animal can't work on Shabbos. Can I rent the animal to a guy? And he'll do his own work on Shabbos. So that there's no Shvus in that. He's not working for me. I'm just collecting rent for it. Is he allowed to work with my animal on Shabbos? The answer is no, he's not allowed to work. Why? Because of the Isra Shvises Behemto. But I'm not doing anything. I'm not working the animal. I didn't ask the non-Jew to work the animal for me. He paid me rent, and he's working it for himself. But there's a mitzvah of Shvises Behemto that the animal may not engage in work on Shabbos. So similarly, he said, the same is true by Shvius, that the land may not be worked during Shvius. Consequently, he said, that's why a woman may not work the land. Because it's an independent Isur that you can't work the land on Shabbos. The land may not be worked, irrespective of who works the land.
Well,
yeah.
If somebody who's not a suva in the mitzvah works the land.
So that's what he says, even if a non Jew, like by Shisus Behemto, God doesn't have any tzivuyim.
But the guy is.
No, there's no Isra on the goy.
There's no Isra on the woman either.
No, it's not. No, she is. She's Jewish. So what she's doing is the Rabbeinu Shalom said that the land should not be worked, and you're violating that. That's the difference. There are goy. The goy has no mitzvahs, so you can't tell them. Somebody. So she is. The goy is not violating anything. But if I have set up this situation,
if she's not included in that aside.
But she's still, but she's mechoyev the land, that's one thing in the essay. There's another thing that the land, there's an Easter for the land to be worked. And that she's mitzvah. Because the same as anyone else is mitzvah. In other words, the land may not be worked. Forgetting about the person. I should add the following. Now, but let me add one more step. And we'll be a little bit clearer there. He says, the chol hecha da mitzvah sasei, shazman groma eina begufa odom. When it doesn't, it's not, I started before at the beginning. There's an Isra Gavra, there's an Isra Nechefza. If it's an Isra of the Gavra, with that which I may not do, or that which I have to do, so then we say women are exempt because of Mitzvah Sasei Shazman Groma. For example, Kriya Shema is Mitzvah Sasei Shazman Groma. That's a fixed on. So a woman with the Raisa is exempt from it. But suppose it's not a din in the person, it's a din in the Karka, that the Karka must remain unworked. Then even though it's mitzvah sasei shazman groma, there's no exemption for women. That's his thesis. And he says, that's why, Now, which is behemoth, he wouldn't necessarily have a riot because the mitzvah and Shabbos altogether, okay, but that's, you know, not going to improve anything from there. But the notion of Shviyat is not only being a din in the Gavra, that we may not work the land, but the land may not be worked, is a very, very fascinating idea. Yeah.
What about the idea that you take a touch of mind from you have that problem that
we don't listen. These are speculative. We can't, you know, reasons are speculative. They're good. It's a speculation of the Rishonim and Avud Raham, but they're so speculative. We can't build halachas on the reasons that we speculate. Mitzvah? Well, it's clear, and Loisa says it doesn't apply. That we know. But this is. Well, it remains so, of course, over mitzvah sasei. I mean, you would apply it to a mitzvah sasei, a lavabo mechlala sasei, perhaps. It might apply to it too. But it's not a classical sasei here. So this is a very fascinating idea, a very revolutionary idea of what Shvius is. Now, there's one other aspect that I want to touch right now. What you call the Isur, two Isur, the Isur of Sricha and the Isur of Shomer. Now, one mitzvah shlo niktzor matashmashe tatzmiach ha'oretz mi'atzma b'shamash shvi'is. That which the land grows on its own. I don't plant it. It just grows on its own from the seeds, whatever, from the shirayim that was left from last year. I may not harvest the conventional way. V'lo mashe tatzmiach b'shona zu v'mashe nizro b'shona shishis. Or what was planted in the 6th year, and I have to harvest it in the 7th year. V'zeu nikro sviach, sh'nemrei sviach tzirch olay sikt rotsa loymar, sh'lei niktzer oysom k'derach shonu k'yitzun t'vu osenu b'shar shonam. It doesn't mean an absolute easy you cannot harvest. It means the harvest of the fruits which grow during the 7th year may not be done in the conventional commercial fashion that you do them in the other years. Avo b'kom b'okoy, achiloso hutra lonam. It is 100% permissible to the things which grow during Shvius. Ubuvach noch leo derech hefker. That we eat it in a fashion as if we're taking it from hefker. Meaning we don't have a whole warehouse though, we're in a balabosal. Yilei tak b'rater b'dvorim elu zulosi sh'yiru m'masa odem b'chol inyam shon azuki l'undovim yuchad v'rishu. So the idea of Shvius is that I should show that I'm not the owner, I'm not the boss. When he equates Shvius exactly to Shabbos, with exactly the same notion. He says Shabbos is every week, is we stop to show that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Adonai Olam, and every 7th year we stop for exactly the same reason, and no differently than Shabbos. And that's why it's called Shabbos. Shabbos Lashem, to show again that who's the Balabos? We're not the Balabata. We are merely guests. Now, this is the din minatoro. The Rabbanon came along and made restrictions. Abachachamim gozru liyosa svichem asurim b'achilam. The svichem, those things which you can normally grow on their own without having to be planted, Chazal banned them. Why? The Ivri Aveir, Shiyizru, Yenoisa Beseser, they'll plant secretly. V'yayim v'svichim, they'll say, we didn't violate Shvius, it just grew on its own. V'gzeirizu enu ala b'yirokos, this is very, very important, Allah al-Maisa. It supplies the vegetables, the two grains, the kidneys, legumes, shederach b'nayodim l'zoyram, that people normally plant. Avoperos ilonois, those fruits of the trees, wa'asavim and grasses, which people don't normally plant, which normally just grow on their own, you don't do anything, you just wait till next year for them. With mutarim, those remain mutar. That is a very, very key factor in the problems of Shvius Bismanazeh. In the 1880s, the Jewish Yishuv was, in contemporary times, really just starting. What we consider the last, the building of the modern Israel began somewhere back around 1880. And in the 1880s, there arose the question, for the first time, that Shemitah came. And there were from agricultural workers, there were from kibbutzim in those years, if they should observe the Shviyas or not. And this is a very contentious issue, which really had to be settled both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, because Baron Rothschild was the one that had funded all of these places. And the question was, if the people's lives would be endangered and the whole enterprise would go under if they observed Shviyas or not. And people went to Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan and they told them that they felt that this was an impossibility, that people could not survive, the circumstances were so harsh. And Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan created a certain heter, but this heter was meant to be very clearly a very temporary heter, not to be a permanent part of the landscape. This heter also did not allow Jews to do Harish and Zriya. It only allowed Arab laborers to do so. Now, many, in Eretz Yisrael, it's in Europe, there was a great divide of this heter is viable or not viable. In Eretz Yisrael, it was rejected by many. It was rejected by the Chachmei Yerushalayim, and later the Chazon Ish, who came in the 1930s, some 50 years after it initially started, he was also a very strong opponent of it. And in fact, he held that it had no validity whatsoever for varied reasons that I don't want to go into right now. Now, if you assume that the Adam Mechira doesn't have validity, so then you have a very severe problem. That means even that all, even if you didn't plant something, forget that you planted, even if you didn't plant, and things grew on their own, if it was owned by Goyim, that's a whole different story. But if it's not owned by a non-Jew, it's owned by a Jew, then even if he didn't violate Shviyas in any way, then you have an Yisro Spichim. So all the vegetables, if you want to observe Shviyas, according to the stringent view of the Chazon Ish and others, then you cannot eat any of the vegetables which grow on Jewish land in Eretz Yisrael, even if they did no malacha whatsoever to produce them. And this is the Yisro Sfichim. This is why this is a very, very critical issue in the observance of Shviyas, is this particular Yisro Derabanan, which is called Yisro Sfichim. Now, the Chazon Ish said that the reason that the Mechira doesn't help, why doesn't the Mechira help? So he had a very simple reason. He said the person that owns the land doesn't sell the land himself. Who sells the land for him? The land is sold by a rov. Right? They go to a rov and they engage just the same way that you come to me from Mechiras Chometz. So you come to a rov and you ask him to sell the land to a non-Jew for the year of Shviyas. The only problem being is that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah of Chafam and Aleph, one of the definitions of Lo Sichorim, the Gemara gives three definitions and they're all true lahalocha, is Leisitein Lahem Chaniya Ba'aretz. One may not give or sell a parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. It's a Leis HaSei in the Torah. And it was the famous incident in a number of years back that the Gerer Rebbe owns a piece of land right next door to the American Embassy in Rehov HaYarkon, downtown Tel Aviv. And the United States government wanted to build a new enlarged embassy and they wanted to buy the land from him. And they offered him $15 million for the piece of land. And the Gerer Rebbe refused to sell it to them. But he did not want to create a diplomatic flap about it. If he wouldn't sell it to them, he'd sell it to someone else. So there'd be an international incident about it. This is, you know. So the Gerer Rebbe said, the land is not for sale. No interest in selling it. It's not for sale. But because of that, he can't sell it now either to anyone else that wants it for development in downtown Tel Aviv, because he doesn't want to get involved in creating antagonism between the, you know, with the non-Jewish world. So he said, listen, nobody can complain if the land is not for sale. If somebody has a piece of land, it's not Stalinist Russia. So, okay, not for sale is not for sale. You made a good offer, and I refuse. I don't want to sell. So that's where it ended. So the Chazon Ish said, for the same reason that the Mechira doesn't work. because the Rav is being asked to do what? To be a shliach of Rabbeir, to violate a lease of saying the Torah. And the Klal is being shliach of Rabbeir. So the whole seder doesn't help. The seder does not get off the ground. Let's see, you're not allowed to sell part of Eretz Yisrael to an Arab, to an Anjou, to any Anjou, not only to an Arab. If they did it, at least, no, then it could work. You can, it's a law, but at least it would work. If you did it yourself, it would work.
It would be a lot more sale.
Yeah, it's a sale. You violated a law, but it worked. But if you did it on a shliach, it doesn't work. And I mentioned before that I met Diane Weiss, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, the Mincha Chizkok, one time. 21 years ago, I was with Rav Moshe Halberstam, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. And he says, you know, Eretz Yisrael, he says, he was a Chassidish, a Rebbe, he says, if I come to the United States, you have to go see Rav Moshe. How could you not go see Rav Moshe? It was just after Rav Moshe had been Nifter. He says, you know, Eretz Yisrael, he says, Diane Weiss is the Choshech, one of the great Rav of the Yerushalayim, he says, you got to meet him. He says, I'm going to visit Diane Weiss this morning. He says, so come with me. So we went together. So, Rav Halberstam Zatzal was very, very careful in his psukim, that even if he thought something was not permissible, but it was relevant to someone's parnosa, so he didn't want to issue a negative psak. If there's a different great rov that felt it's mutter, so let the person be semach on that other rov. He did not wish, I saw this on more than one occasion, to give a negative psak. So he went. So the shaila was in the Ve'yako, one of the neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, in Mizrach Yerushalayim, in the eastern part of the city. There, at that time, was a mixed neighborhood of Arabs and Jews. So there was a Yerushalmi sefer, and you can imagine a sefer is usually not the wealthiest of professions in the first place, and in most places in the world. And a Yerushalmi sefer is particularly not a very wealthy, moneyed individual. And he outgrew his house, and he had to move to a larger house, so he put up his apartment for sale. And he wanted to take the money from that and buy a larger apartment for his family. So the two highest bidders, there was a Jew was the second highest bidder, and an Arab was the highest bidder by $5,000 more. Now $5,000 to this Yerushalmi sefer is probably $1 million to us. So he came to Rav Halberstam Zatzal to ask him if he would let us sell to him. So Poshet, and then we discussed the sugya as we were walking in the streets of Yerushalayim together. That is really according to all the different days. We went through a certain sugya in Gittin and varied views of that, but however he sliced it, it does not come out mutter. So he went to Diane Weiss Zatzal. This is one of the shaylas that he asked him while I was there. And he asked him the shaila. So Diane Weiss Zatzal said, I have the shaila a few times a week, because there were a few shchunot at that time in Yerushalayim that were Arabs and Jews. This is a constant issue. And he says, it's also to sell the chaylech of Eretz Yisrael to an Anjou. I often say, I wish that the Prime Minister's office in Israel, they also understood this so clearly. You know, that's part of the problems that we have. And he's the non-Zionist. So this is a very central issue. If we assume that the Mechir did not work, and that's one more, that we're certainly the one that wishes to be machmer and to be stringent in the observance of the halacha, that wants to take that particular stand, that the Yisur Sfichim is a very, very serious problem, which is the reason that in the next few months, the people that are active in this particular enterprise, they're not going to be able to get a hold of them. Because they have to arrange now where the fruits and vegetables are going to come from, which is going to supply all the people that want to observe Shvi'is stringently during the whole year of Shemitah. There was a time when I lived in Eretz Yisrael on Topshin Lamed Gimel, which was a Shemitah year. So then life was simple. It was a year after the Six-Day War. Eretz Yisrael was very quiet then. It was the first Shemitah after the Six-Day War. And I remember the administrator of our yeshiva used to drive up to Ramallah every week, and he loaded up his van to the Shemayim with fruits, vegetables. We ate like kings with all the chumras and shriyas, and we ate like kings, not shayach. As time went on, two problems arose. First of all, the Arabs learned how to cheat. they buy things from Tuva and repackage them as Arab things, because they learned already that, you know, Shrius is a good business. And then the second thing is, first came the first Intifada, the second Intifada, it became very, very dangerous to go. In fact, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was in the summer of 2000, so they were working at that time to try to work out, you know, Paris and how, and it was becoming more and more difficult. Paris to come from Jordan, whatever, and it just became more and more difficult to achieve these things. I believe, finally, that they brought fruits and vegetables from other places in the world, not even from any of the contiguous Arab countries, I believe, in the year 2000. So this is the Yisro Sficha. This is a very, very major part of the problem in Shrius. The second issue, and here, this is a machleitis which stems from the Rishonim, and Ad HaYom Hazeh, what the halacha l'maisa is disputed. What happens, the halacha is, that during Shvi'ah, that I have to allow anyone to take the peiros. Now let's be very careful what that means. That doesn't mean that I have to unlock the fields and go away and allow anyone to run in what he wants. The owner of the fields can rightfully say that if I'll allow people to do that, they'll destroy all the trees. I won't have anything left till the time Shvi'ah ends. So what he has to do is, he's allowed to post a guard by the gate, but any person that comes, he can accompany him and see that he gets to make sure that he's allowed to take, or you give him whatever he wants, that you have to do. What? No. Fruits. This is on vegetables. This is vegetables, grains, and legumes. Vegetables has nothing to do with. Even if he didn't do anything to make them grow. Nothing. They're awesome. But he says it doesn't apply to fruits, and it doesn't apply to types of grasses which grow on their own. So what now? But the halacha of a tree, though, is, it still has the same halacha, that you're not allowed to keep the fruits for yourself. Now what happens if a person violated trees, and the fruits grew, when I locked them up, and I don't let anyone take them? Does that impact on the kashrus of the fruits or not? Or is it merely that I didn't do what I'm supposed to do, but they're just as kosher as they were before? For anybody, for me. Shmero locked his field up, and he sells his pears in the market, so may I eat those pears? Is it merely that Shmero violated an Easter? Or because he violated the Easter, the pears, the fruits themselves, are no longer permissible? Right? We have in the Rabbanon, we have that the same notion. Right? You're not allowed to have chametz and pesach. If you have it, it becomes chametz or whatever, and you can't eat it. So what happens if you violate Shvi'as? Is there a din of what's called shom? So one of the psukim says, it was in vain is yirecho lo sifto. Peperish nizirecho. Kloimo shehin zarto v'yifrashto yisam v'nei odem. Nizirecho means you set them aside from people. You did not let people have access to them. Below yasisam ayam hefter. You did not allow them to be free for anyone to take. Lo sifto yisam, don't harvest them. Achetavkirem. Until you are masked them. So now, Kenu das Rashi zechor lebroch. This is Rashi's view. This is Rashi on the Torah. Now, kihu soiver shashemer sadeo perosa b'shvius. If you lock them up, they don't become usher. All that happens is you have to open them up and let people taste them. That's all. But the fruits still remain mutter. Ain't a peros nesor. V'chein kosel b'ferushim b'suko v'yivomus. And Rashi has written this in two places in Shas as well. And this is cited by the Rambam. V'chein adobam in din haTorah b'rayas nechayus. V'din haTorah, he says, there's no doubt that this is the halacha. Now, this is Rashi's view. U'masha omru b'toras koyaneh. So Rashi says there certainly can be no isa Torah on such fruits. U'masha omru b'toras koyaneh. So we find in the Safra, it says, you may not harvest that which was shomer, that which you didn't allow people access to. You can only harvest from that which is hefker. Is nefarish l'datenu? According to Rashi's view, this means when a shomer ba'aretz, while you're still watching it and you're not allowing free access to anyone, you may not harvest it. Paris don't become mossy. You just have to unlock the place and let people in. B'haramban, Zechayna Lebrocha, and the view of the Ramban, in Chumash is Pirish Nizirecho Kolomer Geffen Shelo Avdu Veloy Zomru Oso. The Ramban says it means that which they didn't work. Yuchol Geffen Shelo Yizomru Veloy Yoben Omer Shiyikroke. And according to Ramban, this pasuk means Shafilu Kerem and Aziris Lo Nipsu Kederach Shabaitzim Roshar Hashanim. Even those things which grow on their own, you still shouldn't harvest them the regular way. So the Sefer Achinuch Paskins follows the Sheik of Rashi, and he says that the Peiros are 100% mutter, even if you violated Shomer. The other Rishonim and the Balei Tosfos disagree with this, and they paskin that there's an Iser on Shomer, that Shomer becomes Osir. Now, how to paskin in this Shaila is a very central issue in the observance of Shvi'is. If Chachmei Yerushalayim have historically paskin like the Mekilim, like Rashi Shita, and therefore, from their standpoint, all the fruits may have to observe Kedusha Shvi'is on the fruits, that's something else, but you're allowed to eat them. So even if they come from a non-frum kibbutz, and they were not mafker, they did not allow free access to the payers, and they went to sell them, the fruits still become mutter. There's no Isra on using them. So in Yerushalayim, the minig is to be mekel in this shayla, we're not machmer in Shomer. In Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish that's all paskin like the machmirim in this shayla, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that Shomer becomes Osir. So from that standpoint, the Isra is not only the Isra of Svichim, but the Isra affects fruits as well. That any fruit which came from a situation which was Shomer becomes Osir to use. And this is the Psak of the Noeg in Bnei Brak in this regard. So there's a very sharp divide in the Halacha L'maaseh practice between Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. A very central and a very significant issue in the observance of Shvi'is. I can't tell, I presume, my assumption is that once it's roy to be harvested, if you watched it at all, then it's also, that's what saves. Because Rashi says that if you watched it, all you have to do is open up and allow people to take it, and that's fine. So it seems then that the other Rishayim and the Bishonah disagree, is even if you did that, it's still awesome. So it doesn't seem that there's a time frame. I don't know if that would change. The fact that he didn't allow free access, that itself is the problem, according to them. No, so I told you, fence is no problem to put up a fence. They have every right to... That's still, if you don't let people go in, then it's awesome. No, it's not a question that you barred. People are barred. They don't have to come and actually try to get in and be thrown out. So these are very, very central issues in Shvi'is. Now, another very central question is when this man of Shvi'is begins. What do we consider Peiros Shvi'is? So, how do we determine this? So, the big dispute is this, for example. Now, every different types of fruits and vegetables have different halachas. Sheyesh minim we go in tfuah kitnis. Shehoch and achar oinas ha maisras. When they become a chuyiv and maisras, they begil oinas ha maisras b'shishis, or im k'perishishis, then they're considered perishishis, even though you actually harvested them in the seventh. V'chein lehepach, and begil oinas ha maisras b'shviyis, if they first became a chuyiv and maisras in the seventh, im k'perishishis levad. The hold over Afishminis, even if you actually harvested them in the eighth year. V'yesh minim, and there are some types, shahochem emachal gmar pri, v'ezer shonash enigmar aperis, when the fruit finishes growing. V'yesh shahochem bosel akito, the rockets you follow when you pick them. V'ashonam itchadeshes, now he says the following. What is the point, the cutoff point, to decide what's Shvi'is, what not, as far as all of these things. It says, Vashonim is Chadeshes Be'echad B'tishra L'cholad Borom Anal. The first night of Rosh Hashanah, that's when Shvi'is starts. Vafilu B'ilonis. Now, Ilonis are unique. The whole Chambosu Chanoto. That fruits, we don't follow when they were planted, and we don't follow when they're picked, we follow when they bought it. Nevertheless, so the question is, he said, did they bud before Rosh Hashanah? Hashanah Shalom Echot Tishrei, below Tu Bishvat. But even though Tu Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, so perhaps, as far as the Halacha Shviyas is concerned, we would also say the same thing. That when does the Shviyas year begin? It begins from Tu Bishvat. Nevertheless, he says, the Halacha is that it begins from Aleph Tishrei. Keinir Midivrei HaRam, this is the sheet of the Rambam, and Kosev B'Sefer Pnei Yehoshua. Now, who had held otherwise? That the Shloh. The Shloh wrote otherwise. The Shloh wrote that Elyon Shviyas Rosh Hashanah Shaloh with Tu Bishvat. That the Rosh Hashanah is on Tu Bishvat. And there is Ulam Kedasa Shloh Matzino B'Kama Rishayna. The Shloh is not the only one that said this. And the Rabbeinu Chananel says this, and the Oroch says this. And some say when it says of a perosav asurim at Tu Bishvat, it means apparently until the following Tu Bishvat. In other words, you start at Tu Bishvat in Shviyas, and you go till the next Tu Bishvat, that's the year of Shemitah. So the year just begins at a different time. The year doesn't begin from Rosh Hashanah, the year begins from Tu Bishvat. So he brings the Shitas, the Rambam and others, not like that. That Lahalocha, everything begins from Aleph Tishrei. What? So the question is it Tois Rishvias or not? So the conclusion, and the way the Rambam passes Lahalocha, and the way with the conclusion of the Gemara in the Sugin Moed Kotten, is that Midoraisa is Halacha of Shleishim Yom of Tois Rishvias. Most Shitas hold that we find that certain things are also from Pesach and certain things are also from Shavuos is Midrabbanan. There are one or two Shitas, rather surprisingly, that learn that those restrictions of earlier from Pesach and Shavuos are Duraisa, except the Torah didn't fix this man. It was left to the Chachamim to decide what's the appropriate man according to how to implement it. But it's a Duraisa dictative. But most hold that that's a Dindrabbanan. But actually, the Gemara concluded in the end of the sugi in Moed Katan that the din of Tois Shviyas does not apply to Zman Hazeh. So nowadays, there's no real din of Tois Shviyas. According to that, you couldn't do anything in Elul. Elul is also Midoraisa. So now, in the absence of the Mikdash, it's Aloha L'Moshe Mitzinai. It's Aloha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Tois Shviyas is part of the Aloha L'Moshe Mitzinai that it does not apply in the absence of the Mikdash. So the Shviyas actually begins from Aleph Rosh Hashanah. There is no din in contemporary times of Tois Shviyas. Now, a little bit, you could ask yourself the following question. How do you determine when something is planted? Now, that's not a very simple question. I plant something on Shabbos, let's say. It's a violation of a Leisa, let's say. Right? It's a Zareya, with the first of the 39 Malachas. Well, how do I actually violate Zoraya? You put something in the ground, you put some seeds in the ground, you put a plant in the ground. So now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos afternoon. Now Shabbos ended 9 o'clock at night. So what happened in the last 6 hours? Nothing. So if I pull it out of the ground now, so what happened? And so I took a little bush and I put it into the ground and I pulled it out of the ground. So what happened? So how am I over Zoraya? But if I leave it, when did it take root? On Tuesday. It's Tuesday, then what's wrong if it took root on Tuesday? And you're going to tell me, Elamai, what happens if I plant it on Thursday and it took root on Shabbos, then what? It's also mutter. So what's osur exactly? This is a disputed issue. There are a couple of such malachas which are disputed exactly how one violates them. There's a Rashash, and the Minchas Chinuch also talks about it, and Dav Gimel in Masechta Shabbos, that from his standpoint, if a person planted a bush on Shabbos, and he pulled it out after Shabbos, before it took root, it wouldn't be over anything. If he leaves it there, then he's sort of over back from when he put it into the ground, but it's only if he leaves it there. The Minchas Chinuch says that one violates the Iser as soon as one puts it in the ground. You violate the Yisrael immediately. even if I pulled it out after Shabbos before it took root, I still would violate the Isur. And the Isur is putting it into the ground.
So you
get Miso, according to him. On Shabbos, Miso.
You know,
nothing happened. The Isur is putting it into the ground. He says, in most of us, Malachos are not that way. For example, Bishul. Bishul is a very tricky problem. And I'll show you where, we're about to come to Yontif, so I'll show you where the problem really strikes. Bishul, you put a pot of food on the fire. Now let's say he didn't finish cooking before Shabbos ended. You violate the Easter or not? When do you violate the Easter of Bishul? You put it up when it cooks. When's the Easter? So everyone seems to hold, agrees, that when it comes to cooking, till it's actually cooked, or at least Michael Ben Rousseau, a third cook, you're not over the Easter until then. So what happens if you cooked it now, and it put it up, and it finished cooking after Shabbos? So what's the difference? Ma'ivra or not? Now, this is a very relevant question. A very relevant question is the following. When we have an Erev Tavshila, the Yontif, so what do? We cook on Friday afternoon, and we're going to eat the food on Shabbos. So the halacha is that the food has to be cooked, or at least what's considered cooked, Michael Ben Rousseau, before Shabbos begins. So someone asked me once, what's the problem? Let's say it wasn't cooked to Michael Ben Rousseau. I only was 1/8 cooked when Shabbos started. So what's the problem? The whole heter we said, what does have to be cooked before? Because the heter is hoyel. Since I have to be able to use the food on Yontif, that's the heter to cook it on Yontif. Even though if I choose not to use it, but I have to be able to use it on Yontif. So someone once asked me, listen, if it wasn't roy to be used on Yontif, so you didn't violate Bishul. So when did it get cooked on Shabbos? On Shabbos he didn't do a Maisa, so what's the problem? Where's the Isur? So why do I have to cook it up that it should be finished early enough on Friday? What's the problem? Let it not be finished. If it wasn't Roy Lachila, so I didn't violate Bishul. If I didn't violate Bishul, it cooked on Shabbos on its own. So what's the problem? So why do we have in the Halacha says that I have to cook it that it should reach Michael Ben Rousseau before? But we said there's no violation. Everyone agrees that the Easter you only open when it cooks. So here is the lomdus. The lomdus is that you violate the Easter for putting it up. But you only violate it retroactively when it's finishing cooking. In other words, if I put the pot of food on the fire and I would come again and take it off the fire, If I put the pot of food on the fire and I took it off the fire before it cooked, I wouldn't violate anything. But if I put it on the fire and I allowed it to finish cooking, I don't care when it finished cooking. Then it finished cooking after Shabbos for that matter. But if it finished cooking, then I retroactively violate the Easter for my action of putting it on the fire from there.
When you started
Shabbos, I'm not violating. I'm not violating on Shabbos. I'm violating Yom Tov, where I did the Maisa. That's Chilo Shabbos, it's Chilo Yom Tov. Because we pass, there's no Easter, a Shvitas Kalim. I could set any Malach in motion. You light the candles, the famous Nebuka Yosef. You light the candles every Friday night, and they burn on Shabbos, right? Is there any problem? So there's a whole issue of exactly when you violate Zoraya and how this plays out, but that's beyond us now. Maybe we'll meet one more time. I would like to speak maybe one more shiur sometime after Shavuos. And for the sake of going into Halacha L'Maisa and Yonam of Shavuos, both due to the fact that Baruch Hashem there'll be a nice number of young people that are going to study in Eretz Yisrael next year, and plus Be'ez Hashem, many of the members that are of the Kehilo will visit Eretz Yisrael next year. And if Rav Chaim Cohen and Tosva said that he has a shayla for really mechuyif to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, if we're not going to be mekayim all the mitzvahs properly, the tachlis of Eretz Yisrael is what? Moshe Rabbeinu went to Lechol Perosel. He wanted to be mekayim mitzvahs or tatluyas boros. He wanted mitzvahs. So certainly, if we visit Eretz Yisrael, so we certainly want to be mekayim the halachas in the best possible fashion, not chalila to be nichshol in halachos that we're not familiar with. So, as Hashem, I hope that after Yom Tov sometime that we'll be, have yet before the summer, share the halacha of the ma'aseh, some of the aspects, some of the things that we have to be careful about in dealing with issues of shvius.
I'll make some start of the